So earlier today, I visited the Puzzles Bakery and Cafe to chat with Sarah Mae Pratt about her experience as a business owner and autism awareness activist. Puzzles Bakery and Cafe is special because individuals with developmental disabilities work alongside non-disabled colleagues.
April is right around the corner, and that's Autism Awareness Month. So the puzzle piece is the international symbol for autism awareness, and we are called Puzzles Bakery and Cafe because it's our mission to employ people with autism and with other developmental disabilities. So we're a lot like a Panera Bread. We offer sandwiches, salads, soups, freshly baked goods, coffee, things of that nature. We're open for breakfast and lunch. But the reason we're here is to offer meaningful employment opportunities for people on the spectrum and with other special needs.
How did you become involved in supporting autism awareness?
That's a great question. My sister has autism. She's on the spectrum. Pretty low functioning. She's somebody who requires 24/7 care, so she needs help preparing food, help with things like bathing, getting dressed, and just taking care of herself day to day. So she's my only sibling. She was a huge inspiration and a huge part of my life growing up. She's 25 years old now, and I guess what was really sort of inspiring or challenging really is that when children with autism become adults with autism, there's very few opportunities for them. So growing up, my mother and father were very involved with the local chapter of the Autism Society. My dad was the president for a few years and my mom served as the vice president. So it was never just about me and my family and my sister, but we knew so many other families who were affected by autism in our community. And a lot of the people that we know were dealing with the same issues as their children started aging out of the education system and becoming adults. For higher functioning kids, they might be looking into things like higher education or living on their own, but with some supports. And then for people like my sister, they still need something to do all day long. So day programs, potentially group homes. So some really, really big challenges for anyone on the autism spectrum. I would say the biggest challenges are housing, education, and employment for adult life. So my sister was definitely the biggest inspiration to me.
Awesome. Are the job opportunities at your cafe empowering your employees?
Absolutely, without a doubt. So first of all, I think it's always really kind of shocking when I tell people, right now we have over 2,500 applicants to work here.
Wow.
So we only have a few positions available at any given time. We're just one small business with one location in Schenectady. So currently we only have about 15 employees who work here. We also have about 5 interns right now through different school to work programs and nonprofit organizations. So let's say we have about 20 opportunities altogether. I have 2,500 people who want to work here. So in a way, it's really disheartening that I personally can't do more. I know a lot of people see Puzzles Bakery and Cafe as like a beacon of hope, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more important for other businesses to look at our mission and look at what we're doing and try to kind of do that in their own way. So places like Price Chopper, I know they hire a lot of people for like bagging and stocking and things like that. If any businesses, big or small, could consider hiring people with disabilities, I think every business has that opportunity to make a difference in our community. But our job opportunities, yeah, they're making a huge difference for our employees. I'd like to highlight a few of them. We have so many wonderful success stories. Somebody asked me recently, so do people come and work with you and then kind of move on, or how does that work? And that's a great question. I would say just like autism is really, really different depending on the individual. Every person with autism is one single person with autism with their own individual story, challenges, skills, likes, dislikes. Our employees are all super different. So we've had some people who started with us, it may have been their first ever job, and they were able to use this as a stepping stone to move into a career elsewhere. And that's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then we have other people who started with us, and maybe they were employed before, but they were very underemployed, or they only ever did like volunteer jobs, and they're working with us. And I've had some of our employees say, you know what, I'm going to be working with you until I die. And it's kind of funny to hear it said that way, but they are really happy here, meaningfully, gainfully employed, enjoying every moment, and they're getting a heck of a lot of hours, and earning their own money and able to kind of take care of their own finances. So we've seen some people really be able to use this either as a stepping stone or as kind of a lifelong career and everything in between. So for our employees with developmental disabilities, I think it makes a huge difference. And I think it's also really important to highlight that we have non-disabled employees who work here. It's an integrated workplace. And our non-disabled employees, we have a little more turnover. They come and go as life goes on for them. But it's such a special opportunity for them to be working side by side with people with special needs, kind of forging those friendships and getting to know them and form those lifelong bonds. So very, very empowering, and I think we have a really great staff right now. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Yeah. What made you decide to start your own business?
That's a really good question. So, yeah, my background was not in business. Actually, going way back to high school, I was a classically trained opera singer, and I thought I was going to go to school for music. And then at the last minute, I was like, no, I want to do more. I was pretty pumped about the 2008 presidential election, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to school for political science. So my degree is actually in government and international affairs, and I also have a major in anthropology from Skidmore College. So again, you look at all that and it's like, why is she a restaurant owner? What is she doing? But I would say after Skidmore, I had this wonderful internship with the Clinton Global Initiative in New York City. And that was very inspiring. It's their mission to transform ideas into action. So we were surrounded by all of these amazing, like, philanthropists, really big companies, celebrities, people who were trying to kind of use their resources and their power to make a really big difference in the world. So I was very inspired by the work of the Clinton Global Initiative, and I decided after that internship was over to move back home and start my own business. The number one reason I wanted to start my business was to provide meaningful employment opportunities for people with disabilities. So did I ever quite envision myself as a restaurant owner? No. I did not go to culinary school. I did not go to business school. I don't have that background. But I am a firm believer that at this day and age, if there's anything that you want to know or want to learn, you can find that information without necessarily going and getting a degree in that field. So all throughout high school and throughout college, I did work part-time in different food service operations. So food service wasn't brand new to me. It was something I had some very like casual experience with. But as far as running a business, I read a lot of books. I did an entrepreneur boot camp through the Chamber of Commerce, and I really just worked on my business plan, and I was very determined to make it happen. So I think if there's anything anybody ever wants to learn, the world is at your fingertips. All you have to do is, you know, Google it, or yeah. Go to your library or talk to somebody in the field. So yeah, it was a long and winding road. I never thought I would be a restaurant owner, but I'm very happy to be here today.
Yeah, that's inspiring. Have you faced any difficulties or obstacles in being a female business owner?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, because not only was I a female business owner, but I was also a very young business owner. So it's hard to really draw the line, you know, when I faced some different obstacles. Was it my age? Was it my gender? Could it have been a mixture of both? Or, you know, maybe nothing at all, who knows? But I will say getting access to loans in the very beginning was a little tricky. And I think that was mainly age and lack of experience, because I was fresh out of college and I really didn't even have a credit score, you know. I just had a dream and a vision, and I was very determined to make it happen, but I had very little to show for myself at that time. So I really have to thank the Community Loan Fund. They're an organization based out of Albany that helps female business owners, people who are minorities, but really, you know, anybody in the community who has an idea and they want to get that up off the ground and running, but they might be having trouble accessing loans and funding based on, you know, their inexperience. So thankfully, I was able to work with the Community Loan Fund, the Capital Region Chamber, and I had gone through that entrepreneur boot camp as well, gotten a really solid business plan together. All of my numbers were on paper, and it was clear that I was pretty serious. So thankfully, I was able to get my first two loans, for my business loans, through the Community Loan Fund and through the Capital Region Chamber. It wasn't easy, not at all. I really had to prove to them that I was worth it and that I was going to pay the loans back. But thankfully after that, I had these lending organizations that did take a chance on me. I was able to bring that to my bank and say, hey, I'm looking for a business loan. I was able to get funding through these two organizations. Here's my business plan. And then, you know, I was a little more reputable and I was able to access funding in that way. So yeah, it was definitely tricky, but I think my age really played into it too. I'm 27 years old right now, but when I first came up with my idea, fresh out of college, I think I was 22. And it took about 2.5 years from the idea to actually opening the brick and mortar business and opening our doors. So I was a business owner, I might have still been 24, if not 24, 25. So very, very young. And sometimes people see me here at the shop and they think I'm just an employee, and that's fine. Sometimes I like to just ride under the radar. Yeah. That's okay. But yeah, I think my age, I'm not so sure about my gender, if that really played into it, but definitely my age was a factor in my lack of experience.
Great. What advice would you give to other women who dream of starting their own businesses?
Good question. I would say, you know, confidence goes a long way. Really believing in yourself and believing in your idea. But you need more than just sort of believing. You have to know that your idea is going to work. So I would say having a business plan, a really, really solid business plan with financials and with all of the information that you can possibly come up with on paper, and try to run that by some mentors or some other business owners or people in your community who can give you feedback. You know, it's great to have an idea. So many of us have so many great ideas, but to really turn that idea into something very real, and then for that very real thing to be successful and make it past the first or second or third year of business, it's not easy. I think being an entrepreneur, there's very high highs when you're at the top of the world. Maybe you just had an awesome interview on the radio, or something really cool happened. But then, you know, you have really low lows too. Maybe funding is really tight, or you don't have as many customers as you expected. It's tricky. It's not easy to keep a business going. So yeah, I mean, definitely believe in yourself, but also be realistic and try to get as much on paper and really flesh out that business plan before you make any huge commitments like buying a building or something along those lines. Make sure you know and you're fully confident that you can execute that idea.
Right. If in case any of our listeners want to stop into your shop, what are that location and hours?
We are located in downtown Schenectady. We are very close to Proctor's Theater, just a couple blocks away within walking distance. So our address is 515 State Street in Schenectady, New York, 12305. We're open 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, we're open from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then Saturday and Sunday, we open a little later. It's 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. So we don't do dinner, but we're here for breakfast and lunch. And if you happen to be at the farmer's market on Sunday or a matinee at Proctor's, or you find yourself in downtown Schenectady, we are here for all of your sandwich and cookie and coffee needs.
Perfect.
And just, yeah, to wrap up, autism affects 1 in 68 people. So that's an awful lot of people. And the numbers just keep increasing. So chances are almost anyone listening probably knows someone with autism in some way. So just really important to keep spreading that awareness and understanding, and but also to try and make a difference. So again, supporting businesses like Puzzles, or you know, getting to know your neighbors or friends who have autism and trying to support them in any way that you can. It really goes a long way.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.